This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock.com, you can use the code FilmSack12. That's FilmSack12. And any new account can get 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com and the code FilmSack12. Hey guys, Scott here with a quick note. You guys are always saying, hey, we love FilmSack and we would love to be able to give back to our favorite show. Or maybe you like a few shows on the network and you're not really sure of a meaningful way that you can help the show. And I get asked that all the time. Finally put something into place that will let you do that. It's real simple too. For as low as $2 a month, that's like a Coke out of a vending machine, you guys. You can support FilmSack and FrogPants by simply going to frogpants.com/subscribe. That's frogpants.com/subscribe. And right there, you'll find a bunch of options, including that very low $2 a month option. You can do a one-time donation. And there are other levels as well. Going to do some cool stuff with that for people who sign up down the road. But as it stands right now, it's just a great way for people to support the show that helps us keep our bills paid, our costs low, and the content flowing. So do us a favor. Head on over there, frogpants.com/subscribe, and sign up today.
New York City, the world capital of culture and industry. Here among the towering skyscrapers, civilization is guided by men of progress and the wonders of technology.
No ticky, no washy. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 146, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Randy Mop in the Hot Tub Jordan.
Aloha, Scott and Brian Ibbett. I'm glad to be here with you because I had a major health scare recently. The worst thing that could ever happen to a person happened to me, and it almost killed me. That's right. I was in a hot tub, and someone briefly touched the water with a mop. A mop! I really dodged a bullet with that one, huh?
I did not plan on having my intro of you match so closely with your thing.
Beautiful,
that's great.
Beautiful coincidence.
Yeah, very nice. Also with us, Brian, you'll find out why they call him Cigar Face Ibbett.
He's more than just a hero, more than just a monster. He's a melting man with a multiple personality disorder. I say, old chap, what seems to be the trouble? Do you need some help or something?
That guy's voiceover thing was real bad.
Like, you had the guy doing the voiceover, then you had the guy doing the voice in the movie, and then you had some other like...
It was like the voice of this creature was provided alternately by Sylvester Stallone and Doctor Who.
Yeah. I say, old chap, I'm going to smash your face in half.
What's the difficulty here?
What's going on? All right, you may have noticed no Brian Dunaway today. He's on a trip to Atlanta, last minute, sort of. So we had to work around it. Three men in it this fine day, and we hope he gets there safely, does all he needs to do. And
as the sole representative of Team Deluxe Way, I expect to be paid twice the honor.
Of course.
I noticed that Scott finds a way to get one of us out every month.
Yeah, once a month. Slowly weeding everyone out until it's just a show with me on it. That's a terrible idea. All right, we're talking about the Toxic Avenger, not Advenger. The Toxic Avenger, 1984 was the year. Scott Fletcher has more. Take it away.
Toxic Avenger! In this satirical spoof, the meatheads at a local health club push around the geeky janitor who works there. One day, however, the bullies push too far, and the janitor falls out of a window and into a dump truck filled with toxic sludge. The toxic dip transforms the janitor into a hulking superhero, the Toxic Avenger, who fights for justice at all costs and is plenty popular with the ladies, too. Waka waka.
Waka waka. It's an odd use there, but thank you, Scott Fletcher, nonetheless. All right, so Toxic Avenger. I had seen parts here and there, but never the whole thing when I was younger and really had no memory of most of it. Anyone else come to this pretty much fresh, never seen it before?
Completely brand new to me. I've not seen. Yeah, I was aware of Toxic Avenger. I was aware of Troma films, but that's as far as it went.
Randy, same for you.
Yeah, same for me. I had seen, I want to say, two Troma films back in when I lived in Austin, and they used to have Troma Night. I don't remember what they are now. I have to look through this huge list of movies and try to remember what they were. there was. There's a Troma Night at the Alamo Draft House every, I think every week.
That makes perfect sense.
At one of the Alamo Draft
Houses. Yeah, totally, yeah.
And oh man, they've had Lloyd Kaufman come and answer questions, and it's a, you know, it's a thing. It's the continuation of the Rocky Horror Zeitgeist.
Sure.
And anyway, I saw a couple of Troma films, and you know that you're not really there to watch the movie. You're there to eat and drink and pay as little attention as possible.
Sure.
Just blows my mind that that there are so many. There's so many. Mm. How do they do it?
Yeah, and it's the funny bit for me is that Kaufman has an actual good credit to his name. He was behind the scenes production stuff on Rocky, the first Rocky, and you wouldn't watch Rocky ever and go, "Oh yeah, definitely got touches of Troma in here." And like, not at all, right?
Right.
And then he leaves that completely. And he thinks, you know what? I want to make shit for the next 50 years. And he did, and you got to kind of admire the guy for, well, maybe you don't, but he's stuck to his guns. He's never really varied from that goal, whatever that goal was. And it's all kind of crap. And so before I get too far, I want to ask the question. Sometimes I'll see a movie like Troll 2. Mm-hmm. Troll 2 is such a fantastic amalgamation of a director who barely knows English and actors who've never acted before. And story that's really badly sort of translated again by this director.
And improvised on the spot.
Right. So you get genuine, culty, terrible greatness, right? Like it's really kind of the purest form of the kitschy thing that we want to see. I don't know if I'm getting that from these movies, specifically from Toxic Avenger, or if I'm being fooled a little bit into thinking this is more accidental camp than it is. And I don't know. Because there are times where it's so over the top, you're like, really? Anybody in any time thought that was a good idea? You know?
Yeah. I think the big difference between this and a Troll 2 is what you pretty much hit on the head. Troll 2 wasn't, I don't think Troll 2 was trying to be campy and goofy. I'd say if Toxic Avenger, if we saw this movie and somebody said, oh, this was made today, this was made in the 90s or made whatever, I'd say, okay, well, yeah, it's completely intended to be as goofy as it is. However, the fact that this was made in 1984 lends a little bit of that accidental, you know, it's Porky's basically with a a giant, you know, melting faced monster. Dude.
Yeah, it's so many movies around that time to compare it to. Revenge of the Nerds is in here. Yeah. Karate Kid is in here. But I just can't – oh, man. I can never figure out that where the dividing line is between the great figure skater pretending to be bad, Brian Boitano pretending to – for a brief time pretending to not know how to skate, and when you see someone who really doesn't know how to skate falling down on their ass, making a mess of things. Like there's a dividing line, and you can generally tell. I think this film is right on the line. I think I really don't think that it's people trying to make bad movie, nor do I think that it's people trying to make a good movie and spectacularly failing.
Yeah, you just said exactly what I was feeling. It's a good
way to describe
it. It's not that I'm being fooled or that they're intentionally saying, hey, here's some camp, come buy it, and you'll never know the difference between this and real camp or those fantastic happy accidents that are Troll 2 and movies like that. But there is still there's an edge to it that makes me go, well, yeah, sure, this wasn't supposed to be bad, but it's definitely you're not trying real hard to make it good either.
Right. That said, I think another difference between this and Troll 2 is that Troll 2 probably was, you know, written and developed by a group of people, whereas I feel like Toxic Avenger was one guy without anybody saying, no, that's probably not a good idea. You know, he's like writing this, and this guy, it's got to be Lloyd Kaufman, you know, sitting there writing this. I guess there's Joe Ritter co-wrote this. All right, so the two of them. And they're like, hey, let's put a tutu on him. okay, yeah, all right. Let's
That'll be funny. Nobody, that'll be so funny.
Right, and there's nobody to say, okay, let's take the tutu out. Let's take the mop in the hot tub. You know, maybe a little bit less overacting, a little bit less Nickelodeon acting.
Right.
That wasn't
or,
the thing
or
then.
More. Or more Nickelodeon. Or more.
Right.
There are times in this film when I'm like, wow, they're hitting on a really good joke here, and they just don't know how to present it to me.
Yeah.
Like, there were several of them. And then the film is absolutely chock full of, like, body horror and just genuine horror, you know? Like, inexplicably, half of the people in the film are serial killers. We don't know why.
Yeah, really casual ones, too, that hang out at the gym, that slap each other on the butt, that wear headbands, that hang out with the cheerleader girls, and then they go out and run poor kids over with their car, not once, but twice.
This seems like the kind of town a lot of people would have moved away from.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, except their workout club has such great rates.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
And they're, all right, so... There's some moments in this thing that are such an era gone, like the two gay dudes at the gym.
Right.
What bag of stereotype did you have to dig all the way to the bottom to pull that out? Like even then, seemed just ridiculous.
How is it though that when Mel Brooks does the exact same joke at the end of Blazing Saddles, it's funny?
Yeah.
Well, how is that?
The touch of the master as opposed to the...
But what is in the touch of the master? What's the substance there? I can't figure it out.
Well, okay, so then that brings me to why I think I, in a weird way, admire Lloyd Kaufman and all his crew. And that is that they don't have that touch at all, but they don't care. They don't care. They're going to make it anyway. They're going to do this thing, and they're going to
admiring the non-skater for getting out on the ice.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Being willing to get out on the ice. I mean, think of it, put it in today's terms. You know, the internet is now the ice and everybody's a non-skater and everybody wants to see if they can do it. And in a way, there's something fun in the attempt. And then the kind of all no holds barred inability to see that a zero score on Rotten Tomatoes means anything. That they could just bravely and proudly expose these films and go, yes, we made this, and it's about a chicken that's a zombie, and it's going to kill you, and it's great, and I'm going to go to every possible length to talk on every talk show, and oh, they wouldn't let us on Letterman, that's fine, we'll go on something, we'll go on Ferguson, okay, fine, we'll take Ferguson. Like, they don't care. They don't feel the guilt or the shame or the criticisms just roll off them, and there's something about that that's... brave and unblinking, you know? I don't know if we benefit as filmgoers.
But you've got the talent to back it up.
Right. Right. And I guess that's what I mean is they don't. They're bad at this. This is a bad movie, but man, I laughed a lot and did not. There were only a few periods of time where I'd be like, okay, moving along, folks. Let's get this thing going. Most of the movie, I laughed.
Yeah, and you're hit in the face with the first one of those. Okay, come on, move along. Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning of the version we saw, the one that's streaming on Netflix, which contains the DVD bonus or Laserdisc bonus commentary at the beginning.
That's weird.
It really is weird. It's very awkward, navel gazing. You know, like we're really doing this for this. This will entertain three people out there.
Yeah.
Well, and it wasn't, and it wasn't,
wasn't us,
it wasn't an additive to the film.
Right. Oh no, not at all.
Not at all.
Like it actually made me stop a second and go, okay, why are we watching this? Right. And the answer is, some people have suggested that the first was a poster in our forums named Sodar about 2.5 years ago. First suggested that we watch this film for FilmSack.
Right,
and that's it. It was just, you guys should watch Toxic Avenger. That's it.
Yeah.
And then looking through some other mentions of it on our forums over the years, I realized this is just one of those things. It's not there's not a special reason to watch it. There's not a bad reason to watch it. It's just one of those things. It's just out there. You're flipping around. It's on, and something keeps you from flipping any further.
Yeah.
But it definitely doesn't draw you in.
The only reason I can think of that people that I would recommend they watch is so they can enjoy this episode of the show more. And that's honestly it. There's no other reason to catch. If you're sick and you're up at 3 a.m. and you can't go to sleep and you got a fever, maybe. Maybe then. Well, I don't know. That wouldn't be good doctor advice, would it? That's probably bad. But it's just so shitty. in a way that made me smile and just go, I'm kind of glad poop like this exists and persists and is, you know, has a cult following. And then there's a piece of me that went like this. Hey, Toxic Avenger, you'd make an interesting remake, which I guess they're working on. Travolta's tied to it.
Travolta somehow is tied to this.
I had the same exact feeling throughout this film.
Yeah. There's like a bit, Randy, there's a piece of this where you go, no, this could be a genuinely interesting kind of, maybe on the Sam Raimi side of things, but an interesting dark man's quality kind of character.
I want to know, man. I want to see Guillermo del Toro remake this film. Like, seriously, like somebody with a really, really far out there creative vision.
Yeah.
So, and I'm serious.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this again.
Yeah.
But and that's what I'm getting at. Like, I don't want to watch anything like this again. I don't want there to exist anything like this again.
Yeah, but it could be sympathetic. The character could be interesting. The idea that the nerd gets thrown into the toxic stuff and he turns into this hulking beast who does nothing but good things and terrifies evildoers at its core is, I mean, that's what all superheroes do, but it's at its core, it's a thing you could work with. And with today's technology and today's makeup artists and today's everything and our tendency toward, I don't know, being able to retell campy origin stories, but in a way that's actually visually and narratively compelling, I would totally watch that.
Let's actually talk through that origin story for those who have seen the movie and been trying really, really hard to forget every moment of it.
Yeah,
it's because I think it's very, it's like got the kernel of something entertaining and interesting.
Right.
You know, and I realize it's super trope right out of the gate. Like the whole story is a super trope. But in fact, the phrase super trope could kind of define, could be defined by an origin story of a superhero where the superhero started out being treated badly and the people treating him badly accidentally give him powers. Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, he either seeks vengeance or whatever.
Right.
So there's a super, like the whole movie is a trope in that way.
And so many mashed in. They're just trying to fit him in left and right. Right.
Yeah. You got to call this, they live in the town of Tropaville. It's not Tromaville. It's it's Tropaville.
Well, but Brian Dunaway was here and he called this.
Mushgrote.
There you go. Keep going.
But just the tropiest, most classic, most unoriginal origin story ever for someone with superpowers. He's a 90-pound weakling working in a gym.
Melvin is his name. Melvin.
His name is Melvin. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, all that stuff. And of course, what's trauma about it is that there's all of this extra TNA and gore where in reality there isn't,
right?
You know,
right?
But you know, so that's what makes like what really defines the trauma film is you're not just in a gym; you're in a gym where everybody's naked all the time, and where people who go to the gym are happy to, you know, to kill somebody in the most brutally disgusting fashion you can think of. But you know, so you have all that stuff, and then you set up some people who hate the 90-pound weakling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, they're gonna end up doing something to him that gives him superpowers. No. Everyone does. When it finally comes push to shove, it's not just the core four people who hate him and the girl who tries to trick him. It's the whole town.
Mm-hmm. Even like, even the fat girl who eats chocolate while she's doing aerobics, even her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's man, and that's actually like that part of it. If it wasn't so brutally bad, that could be really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
the town itself is your worst, is truly Toxic Avenger's worst enemy because they are just this horrible bunch, this amalgamation of terrible people.
I feel dirty for assigning more value to this than it.
Well, that's it. But this happened to me multiple times in the film. I would go, oh, you know what? This done by somebody normal or you know, who could make a movie. This would be really cool here. This scene.
I think that's accurate. Lloyd Kaufman is not normal. Mm-hmm. I think we could all attest to that.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he's obviously done okay for himself. This weird enterprise of him has made him quite a bit of money. And
I applaud him, but he's not normal.
No, he's not normal. So the movie.
Who does Lloyd Kaufman remind you guys of?
The guy who has all the question marks on his outfit that wants to save you money by bilking the government. Whatever that guy's
name. That's
the guy with the book, right?
Yes.
That's a good comparison.
All the tax secrets. I don't remember his name.
Right.
I forgot. About, I thought you were talking about the Riddler at first. I'm like, what is he talking about?
It's called like the Big Book of Secrets or something like that.
Right. Something like that. But yeah, that's pretty close to that. He's like the Laserdisc intro, because that's what this was for. The special edition was a Laserdisc. Yeah. He's the way he is walking around that microphone and being so, in a weird way, self-serious about the material, I think says all you need to know. I think that is if you want to know what is behind all this, that I think that's it. That's your mentality. There's an energy to that that is kind of palpable and weird. And he is moving along in that bad story about the homeless guy who's now the Toxic Avenger and that whole fake bullcrap and drugs and sharing needles and whatever they're doing. Or smoking a crack cigarette or something? Smoking
a crack cigarette, yeah
which makes a lot of sense. He is taking that he's going all in, and he has the look on his face that says, this is awesome and I know it.
Right.
Oh, it's so weird. It's so weird that can succeed. I don't know. He needs to be studied. There's something up.
And if I can just channel Brian Dunaway for a second, it does succeed. I speaking for Brian Dunaway here, thank you. I really genuinely believe that my partner Dunaway would watch this and come away with the places where it's a genuinely entertaining film. And I've been trying to put myself in Brian's head.
Right.
And there are parts of it that are just flat out funny.
Yeah.
I mean, once you have a Toxic Avenger, you get to do things like have him rip a guy's arm off and beat the dude with it.
What? Like, I would expect Dunaway would have enjoyed the entire fast food scene, the fast food restaurant scene.
Of course.
Scene.
Oh, how yeah.
The
not?
whole scene. You're thinking, this is ending up in the fryer. This has got to end up in the fryer. Yeah. There's no doubt. There's a fryer back there. We're going to use it.
And it reminded me, that whole scene reminded me of like all the things I would never put in my movie. Like, let's aim a shotgun at a baby. All right. Got that down. Yeah. Let's shoot a dog. Nobody loves shooting animals. Right. Let's have the blind girl have her shirt half open and pretty much naked by the time the scene's over. Let's have an arm come off. Let's have somebody threaten to rape somebody in the middle of the place. Let's have a guy steal quarters from the girls who are going to play video games.
I know you've got a list of little trivia, but I'll preempt one of them.
Go ahead.
By far the most controversial thing in a trauma film is the shooting of this dog in this movie.
Yeah, that came up. That was the big complaint from everybody.
Right. The thing that lodged the most complaints about the film was not running over a kid and then backing over his head.
Yeah. No, that's not enough. You got to shoot a fake dog. No real dog died.
Sliding across the floor.
Right.
Right. Wow.
And it's that's funny how people get sensitive to that, and they don't care about the kid having his head pop like a melon in the middle of the street.
Right.
That part really bothered me.
It bothered me too. I mean, because you're expecting this to be like a cheesy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even RoboCop didn't do anything with kids, didn't do anything with animals.
Right.
So when you're seeing that, you're thinking, all right, the kid's going to get away, but they're still going to get, you know, Toxic Avenger is going to come get them because they've messed with the kid. No.
No, it's just innocent, like 10-year-old kid out riding his bike, gets run over first, and it was kind of a gnarly. It was a dummy, but it was pretty gnarly.
No, that was a real stunt dude.
Was that a dude?
They drove a car slowly, had a stunt guy throw himself onto it and roll over the top, and then they sped up the playback.
Right. All right, well, there's that.
And it was actually very effective. I wanted to go back and watch that again.
And then they go back the car over his head and squish it. Then the girls get out of the car with their sweet Polaroids, and they take pictures of this kid's decimated head. And the whole time I'm thinking, this is the kind of sociopathy kind of stuff that normally a real turnoff for me. But then I thought, Lloyd Kaufman thinks this is great. He thinks this is plot device. This is character development. This is we're building a story here. We're really laying down the groundwork and the foundation. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when I started thinking like he thinks, I went, sure. Run over the kid. That makes sense. Why not? Commit full. Have a Corey Feldman lookalike commit full murder, and pretend like the town doesn't even notice. Like that. I don't know. That whole thing really bothered me. There were a few other moments like that where I was like, the gay stereotypes bugged me quite a bit because they were so like seventh graders laughing at the back of the bus. Like none of that was.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, it was very excessive.
I can deal with like a. what am I trying to say? Like a modern day knowing ironic portrayal of stereotype homophobic behavior. I don't know how I'm trying to get a good example of that, but I can't think of one. But people do it. I mean, Will and Grace maybe did it.
And this is going to get worse. Bigotry as humor in the 60s, 70s, 80s. As time goes by, we're going to look back at it and wince harder.
Oh, I agree. It was
that, I mean, you're listening to what's-her-face, cute 80s chick rattling off all the different point values for the things that that Slug or Bozo could run over. It's just a litany of racial terms. Bigotry.
It was pretty bad. Did you guys see Marissa Tomei in the shower scene?
I even had to rewind back to show Tina.
Yeah, that was weird.
I totally missed Marissa Tomei. It's another one of those films where if you look at the cast list on IMDb, it's all people who have no picture in IMDb, which says a ton. And of course, way, way down, second to last in a list of 100 people is Marissa Tomei.
Right.
Yeah. You get. I tend to look at the trivia first when I'm watching a movie for FilmSac, so that I know things to kind of look for. But I skip the spoilers, and I always skip the goofs until after.
Right,
but
right,
the trivia is like, oh, Marissa Tomei's in this as Shower Girl. Excellent.
Yeah, perfect.
As Shower Girl.
Now, if you guys had to guess which of the main actors in this film has died and died early, the actual actor in real life, if you had to pick which one.
Gigantic mayor.
Very good. Brian wins. Wow. Brian wins, everybody. The guy's name is Pat Ryan. He played the mayor, and he was he died not many years after this film was made. Well, a few years after. But anyway, he was only 44 when he died. And guess what he died of? Just take a wild guess.
Well, I'm guessing heart disease.
Major heart attack. There you go.
Yeah.
So let it be a lesson to all of us is all I'm saying. That guy really made me. The whole time I'm watching, I'm going, man, there's no way he's still alive, is he? And I kept thinking it during the movie, and then I went and looked, and nope. He died at 44, a year old.
Oh, he was in Mannequin. That was his other than Toxic Avenger, he was in, that's probably his biggest film, his biggest mainstream film would be Mannequin.
Mannequin, wow.
Yeah.
As a pizzeria manager.
Yep.
I wonder if we're going to watch that on FilmSack.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind that. The second one's real bad. First one's all right.
Whoa, Scott's got opinion already.
I do. I used to think it was all right. We Built This City was in that movie.
Yes. Well, the Starship was. That song wasn't.
Right. Oh, that song wasn't? What was in there?
Nothing's going to stop us now.
I'm sorry, but those two songs have melded together for me.
Right. They might as well have, yes.
Really hard to tell the difference. Anyway, fair weather, Pat Ryan. Good luck in the great burger joint in the sky.
Dude's been dead for like 25 years, though, right?
Well,
20 years. 20 years. Sorry, 20 years.
Something like that. The Troma logo, something I just noticed, I thought was just totally awesome and badass and ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Good word for it.
It was great.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like to be ridiculed.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And does anyone really, here's the other question I had about, so we talked about all these tropes and stuff. When you guys were younger, and I'm trying to think if I noticed others doing this. I certainly didn't. But do people really hang around health clubs like that? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. That was a total.
I was hanging around a health club, a fitness club, when O.J. Simpson fled arrest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I guess that was in 94.
94, correct.
Yeah.
And he and who was the guy driving the white Bronco?
Was it Furman or?
No. Initials like AJ something.
I wish Furman was. He wouldn't have died that way. Wasn't Furman one of the murder victims? I think.
Oh, was it? He? Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, Furman was the guy who came over for his glasses or something.
Yeah, if he was driving the car, that would have been bad.
It was AJ.
I remember this time in our history. Like I knew people who hung around at health clubs, and health clubs started to have like smoothie bars and stuff and like lounge areas where you sit and watch old TV.
Wow.
Tuned onto the whatever was on primetime.
I missed this whole thing then. I didn't realize it was a thing. Hello, and big thanks goes out this week to Shutterstock.com. Shutterstock.com is a fantastic sponsor of FilmSack, and we really love these guys. It's Shutterstock.com. You find the perfect image or video or vector graphic for your next big creative project. Whether it's for a website, a publication, an advertisement, a video, any type of project, really, you can choose from over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. They source images from all around the world, and they put them right at your fingertips. Many of the contributors at Shutterstock are professional photographers, professional artists. They add 10,000 images every day. So every time you visit, you're going to find something new. They give you these assets very simply and easily. And my favorite part is if you want to set up a subscription on there, you can. And that's a great way to keep your costs low, especially if you're doing a lot of projects. Or let's say you just need to go and get one image. They have that option as well. Most of these sites don't. You need to subscribe to get them. They've got all kinds of options to help take care of you. You can try Shutterstock.com now today for a free account. Just no, get in there. No credit card required. You know you hate that, so no credit card required. Just start an account and begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like. Save assets you find in your new light box. Use their new iPad app to check out what you've got and kind of set up your next presentation. Once you decide to purchase, use offer code FILMSAC12. That's FILMSAC12. And new accounts receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off new accounts, use the code FILMSAC12. We want to thank Shutterstock for their support. A film sack.
When I first moved to Austin in 98, it was still the case. And I remember getting a membership at a health club where they had a pretty impressive lounge area in the center of the place. And so like you kind of would walk through it going from the machines to the whirlpool and back, and like you could see the TVs from the hot tub and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's like this huge hot tub that people would just hang out in after their workout.
Ugh.
Yeah, it doesn't it sound disgusting?
It kinda
does. It's funny. This film brought up for me what I find gross on a list, and body horror is not as gross as disgusting food prep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the guy with his belly hanging out. And
right. Mm-hmm. Al Cowlings, by the way, is the guy.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Al Cowlings was driving the Bronco.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole fast food preparation. The guy's got his hands down his pants, pulling out a bottle of some out, and then you see him putting lettuce in the.
Oh, stop!
Yeah, I can't do it either. I can't do it.
I'd rather, I'd rather see five women get put into washing machines before I see something like that.
Five again. Old borderline dwarf women. Would you call her that?
Right. Yes.
I kept the whole time going, I don't know what I would call her, and it would be offensive no matter what I said. So
let's call her a hobbit.
All right. Fine. She had hairy feet.
Let's go all the way.
Yeah, let's take.
That's not offensive.
Let's take her all the way back to.
I don't think it's offensive.
Tolkien stuff.
Call her a hobbit.
The food. Real quick, just a comment on that. There's a point where the Avenger. We've talked about this on the show before. I really like creative deaths in our movies like this. And there are some pretty creative things going on in here. In the restaurant, there's all sorts of opportunities. You mentioned the hands in the fryer and all that. But, you know, the guy getting his face turned into a hot fudge sundae. Yeah, blizzard. Was less gross to me than dude pulling his hand out of his pants and prepping burgers with lettuce and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't think that's how that's supposed to go.
Because one, you think, well, that will never happen. The other one, you're thinking, oh, my God, that's probably happening right now.
This burger I'm eating now was prepared with fecal hands. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because ultimately, what disgusts you is a matter of what you can project back into yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're really, really grossed out by body horror, for instance, you are in that moment imagining it happening to you,
sure,
which is really, really bad. It's hard to watch food prep and not imagine it that's the food you're about to eat.
Right.
It's just practically impossible. The guy sticking his hands in the fryer, you can kind of tell yourself, oh, that'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to me. But the guy freaking scratching your food on his nuts and then putting it on a plate, you have really no control over whether that ever happens.
Or not. Yeah, you don't even have any knowledge of it.
Right.
Oh, I'm never going out again. Thanks a lot.
I know a guy who used to work at a restaurant called Chi Chi.
Yeah, I did. And I told you guys on the show, the guy would throw a steak would come back, not done mm-hmm. enough. The guy would spit on it and cook it more. It'd come back a second time. He'd put it on the floor, mush it with his foot, put it back on the grill, send it out. And then the third time, they're like, oh, yeah, it was great. Thanks. I know. Is right. Anyway, crap, I had a thing to say. Oh, The Bozo and Ding Dong and their girlfriends, right?
Slug, yeah.
Slug.
Yeah.
Is that his name? The Corey Feldman guy was Slug? All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looked like Feldman. They so thoughtlessly rub this kid out on the nighttime car thing, right? And don't seem to bother him at all. The one guy has to get home because he's got to go to church because that's a funny joke somehow. And it's just bad.
That joke did nothing.
It did zero.
I mean, it was, you could see why it would be funny.
Well, it's juxtaposition, right? It's like, we just smashed a kid's head in the road maliciously. I got to go to church. Let's get home.
Well, it's less that he's going to church. It's more the reaction of the other guys. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was where the fun, you know, where they meant it to be funny. It wasn't like, you got to go to church. What are you, crazy? No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like, I wanted there to be a muted trumpet going. That would have actually made it funnier. Benefited
by that and a laugh track. Yes.
Yeah. I completely agree. But what was so they're being completely just, they're showing no empathy, apathy, anything. It's just this terrible act of with zero emotion or sympathy towards this kid. And then later, dude gets pushed off the window into the goo barrel, which made me laugh out loud the way he landed.
He jumped.
That's right.
Yeah. He wanted to go out that window.
So he's out there and everybody's out there now gawking at him and laughing because he's having essentially, you know, epileptic fits on the ground and he's covered in this stuff and his arms are boiling and a cop's hands catch on fire and all this stuff is going on. And they have the same guys, Bozo and his friends, have the gall to say, ooh, I don't think he looks very good, you guys. I don't think he's going to be okay. They're starting to talk like that. And I'm thinking,
serial killer.
Yeah. You suddenly care what this kid who you hate, who put a mop in your hot tub, you're so incensed about this, but you had no problem just killing this innocent kid. That's a weird, I'm not saying that the movie doesn't gain or lose anything, but because it's all poo. But what are you as a writer or a director saying? Or that you're saying anything. Why do you not think about that?
Yeah, not once does the idea come up, well, why don't we just wait till he leaves the health club on his way home and we'll run him over like we do everybody else. Not once does that even become an idea for a plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, they've had some success. Why couldn't they just do it again? Freaking weirdos. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man. I like, this film has such particularly gratuitous TNA that you stop noticing.
And like, none of it's sexy.
Oh, she's going to show him her breasts. And you're like, but you stop asking why.
Yeah.
You know?
But none of it's sexy. It's all gross.
No, and it's all those, it's the 80s over tan boob where the outer edge of the boob is burnt to a crisp and the inner
bit almost because it's so
white and
it reflects light in such a way that you're not even sure it's a boob by the end of the scene.
That's right. Yeah,
it's all weird. I didn't like any of that. I thought it was all very odd. And then how tropey do you get here? They actually gave the cop an Irish accent. Now that's bad
well,
enough.
Did you hear what his name was?
Officer O'Clancy.
That's awesome. Officer O'Clancy.
O'Clancy.
Shouldn't it be like Clancy O'Malley or something? They've just mushed it all in one.
We meet him as he's falling victim to three poor mentally retarded persons. I don't know how did he fall into, like, wouldn't you just,
he was the good cop who was going to get busted for collecting payback or collecting
bribe. He was
hush money.
Bribe from these guys. Yeah.
Right.
But he was the good cop. And, oh, no, I won't take that. And you're not going to take my lucky charms either.
Hey. And his accent changed. So when they were first attacking him, he didn't have one.
Right.
And then later he's like, I don't know who they were, but they came by and they whatever.
They beat the Irish into him is what they did.
Yeah. There haven't been any dumb cops in movies in a long time. Cops are now grizzled at all times.
Yeah.
All cops are worn by the service. And it was really hard to be reminded that cops used to be bumbling idiots.
Oh yeah, yeah. And nowadays, you're right. They're grizzled and old and have seen everything, and you can't put anything past them. They've been on the street too long, and they that's just who they are now. Back in the day, they were Officer O'Clancy with that stupid accent. But I'm going to tell you though, the guys that robbed the restaurant, robbed the taco place. That inexplicably had katanas on the wall. I don't understand how that works.
Right.
They were one of my. See, we always talk about this gang in the 80s, the gang of mixed race, mixed whatever, yeah. mixed costume. Yeah.
And they're always a hair band.
Oh, I love it, dude.
At the same time.
These guys were the right? best ever. Yeah.
One of them looked like a Cirque du Soleil guy from Kiss.
Yep.
Right.
And
they may have been.
He looked like Jack of Hearts from Marvel Comics yeah. with his yeah. half colored face with his red circle eye.
Well, it reminded yeah. me of what's her name in from DC. What's her name? She loves the Joker all the time.
Yes, Harlequin.
Harlequin's who reminded yeah. me of. And it was pretty good. Actually, the makeup was all right. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
If you're a black punk in the 80s, you look like Michael Jackson.
Right.
I mean, Michael Jackson from the early 80s.
It was. Sure. I was getting more of a Electric Avenue kind of vibe out of that guy.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's that era, right? It's like Rick James, early Rick James stuff.
Very Rick James. That's a good comparison.
So we remember in Howard the Duck, real bad gang. Love those guys. They were great. We have other examples like Rumble in the Bronx had a real bad gang. This, I think, is my favorite new bad gang. I think these guys take it.
Such a bad gang. How could they have ever done anything? Like, this is their last crime. Exactly. How could they have ever committed a first crime?
I know.
Right. I like his introduction, though, you know, on yeah. on vocals over there.
Oh, that's right.
Mikey.
They've got a whole routine they worked out before.
We're your entertainment for tonight.
Yeah.
It was like the line dancing of holdups. You know how when you see people break out into line dancing, you have to ask, when did they rehearse this? Like, yeah. in whose garage did they just spend 15 hours figuring this out? Same thing here. Right? It's the line dancing of holdups.
Now, the guy with the color on his face, he was... Oh, I got to pull it up. We've just talked about him. He's in something else we've just seen.
Really?
Yeah, let me find it real quick. He's the only person with a picture in the IMDb list. Patrick Kilpatrick, right. And he was something recent. Hold on. We're going to find this.
He's been in several real movies.
Wow.
He's in The Replacement Killers, which is a thing I always keep talking about. But there's things like Last Man Standing, Babylon 5. I think maybe I brought him up.
Brian Dunaway's favorite movie, Minority Report.
Yeah, he loves that movie. Oh, that's right. Now I remember him being in that.
Do you really?
Oh, I do. Yep.
He's going to come back around as a as our Star Trek connection because he's an extra in lots of different Star Trek
Voyager, stuff. And he was on JAG and Angel, the X-Files.
24, like, CSI. Jeez, this guy.
He did all right.
Good resume.
Yeah.
He was obviously leaves this off of it.
Yeah. It's way down at the bottom. Is it his first thing? Yeah, it is. His very first film is The Toxic Avenger.
Wow.
And wow.
He's done okay since.
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
What?
We need to watch that.
We need to watch that. That needs to be on our list.
Oh, that's the movie we saw. Last Man Standing. He's in that. The Bruce Willis one where he's the 20s era cowboy, basically.
Yes.
He goes to that town and fights Christopher Walken.
So this guy's in that movie. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's that guy with the paint on his face who held a... And somebody said somewhere, was it... I don't know where I read it, but he was asked to point the shotgun at the kid's face, at the baby. Even though it was unloaded, not loaded, he got so mad he left the set and didn't come back for days, and they had to talk him into being back in the show again. So that whole scene was interrupted by him going, I'm not going to point a gun at a baby, and they were pushing it, and he left. It's like, nope.
Wow.
So maybe the one guy with some scruples, maybe that's the reason he has a damn career. You know? At least you could say that about him. All right, what else? Gary the Dog. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Right.
The guy's name is. That's a great name for a dog. Let's see. We talked about remakes. How short are the shorts in this movie? Oh, yeah. The gym shorts.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there's a trope there. My favorite trope in the film. Hold on. Alert.
Wait, right.
My scroat.
If you're a woman and you're going somewhere,
yeah.
You're taking off most of your clothes before you leave.
Of course.
Yes.
Let's go camping. Hold on. I need to go put on shorty shorts and a lingerie top. Okay. Let's go.
I'm going
and then
to the gym.
When we're actually camping, I need to take those off to reveal my tiny string bikini.
Yep.
Because I don't know if you've ever been camping before, but the last thing you need is clothes between you and the wind and the rain and the bugs.
Mm, and me and Corey Feldman look alike or alone?
Boobies.
There you go.
Right.
What else? Blind girlfriend, just an excuse to have lots of terrible pratfalls and jokes. What a waste of time that was.
And it's a good thing blind people couldn't see her acting because they would have been extremely offended by her portrayal of a blind person.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like you're hearing voices. Okay, you're not just blind. You're hearing voices in your head, and somebody's tapping on your shoulders back and forth. So turn your head back and forth.
Yeah, that was great.
And some of it was on the script. Like, I noticed every time she said, let me see that. Like, no, a blind person would never say that. Why do you keep saying that?
Yeah.
Let me see that. Let me see your hand. What do you, what?
She was borderline offensive.
Yeah. I'm looking through the cast list. Any idea who the narrator was in this? Because it actually,
no,
that was a voice that actually sounded familiar. But
you mean like the
actual good voice? Narrator.
The good voice
of the Toxic
Avenger? No, not the good voice of the Toxic Avenger.
You mean this guy here at the top.
New York City, the world capital.
That guy.
Yes.
Let's see if we can find him.
It almost sounded...
Wow.
It almost sounded like George Takei.
And there's a giant Toxic Avenger. Oh, my.
The world capital.
I don't see anything that says narrator.
The guy who did Toxic Avenger's good voice... only ever acted in one other thing, and it was voice acting too. So that's that guy. This is kind of his big hurrah.
Well, I wonder if I captured much of that. Oh, yes, I did. I did capture a lot of that. I captured more clips for this movie than I have in a long time. There's some keepers in here.
Good. Oh, it had so many good clips. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
So we'll look to we'll do that here in a second. One last thing I wanted to mention, and this is actually going to involve a clip, so I'm going to play it now. Most of the movie had music like this. Regardless of the scene, and it made me think that St. Elsewhere was starting. Hurry up, finish dinner, St. Elsewhere is on, is what I kept thinking.
But it was so good. It was so 80s disco is so good when it's combined with really awful film.
Yeah. No, it may as well be in the last scene in Hunter when he's got to save the girl and jump over a car twice. It's like that music is just terrible. But what I love in a movie like this, when they clearly don't have the budget to do much else than that, and they've run out of money still, they turn to royalty-free, out-of-copyright classical music.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I love that when that happens. And this movie has a huge chunk right in the middle where they just go, Beethoven, Vivaldi, what else you got?
Right. It's while he's changing into his new form.
Yeah.
Right?
That was great. So you'll hear some of that in the clip. Speaking of clips, let's do some clips. We got a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with why is this guy in here? Oh, this is the end. I don't remember what this is.
Greetings from Tromaville, and welcome to the newly refurbished, lovingly produced Laserdisc director's cut of The Toxic Avenger.
I feel like that guy should be selling me something on the street.
Yeah.
Here's how you can save money with the government by taking advantage of some of their free offers.
Are you sure it's Lloyd Kaufman is not that guy? Because
Matthew Wesko?
You're kind of nailing it.
Matthew Wesko. Thank you.
So, here's another good line.
I sold that for 4 rocks of crack and the solace of a teenage prostitute's bosom.
Wow.
Damn.
That was that guy at the beginning. We're still in promotion mode.
We're still in the extra bonus. Yeah, which
I was really close
to fast forwarding through.
But were you worried that you'd accidentally loaded up a like some sort of faux documentary Toxic Avenger film?
I was like, Netflix, what are you doing here? What are you giving me? Because you normally don't get these kinds of quote unquote extras in your movie,
right?
No. Even if it was, you know, if this is a director's cut with new scenes, fine. But you're counting that as a scene. See, once again. That's almost genius that it's even in there.
Right. The only other time I think I've seen anything like that on Netflix was for one of those Miyazaki films where you actually had the guy from Disney coming on before it and saying, you know, we love the fact that he's letting us bring these to you, a new audience, da 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 da. And it goes right into it. It's 12 seconds long, but it's...
Right.
It's in Spirited Away, and it's...
Spirited Away.
What's his name? Lasseter. John Lasseter.
Lasseter, that's who it is, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Comes out and says it's his favorite animated film and why he loves Miyazaki, and then I watched the movie and went, it's mostly a movie about a big black thing that barfs up furniture. Why am I watching this?
but it's totally cool. Like, this is an attempt to convince you that the character is real and in the real world he's still got a life going on, you know?
Yeah.
And that is really hard to pull off.
Yeah, it is, especially when it's a rubber mask on a homeless guy. It's terrible. All right, some weird sounds for you. Check it out. The movie's full of these.
It really is.
Yeah.
These half Wilhelms.
Yeah. Little half Wilhelms, little Curly and Moe moments where they're just making funny slapstick noises. None of them sound like they were recorded anywhere near the set. There's no, like,
those were added for the Laserdisc edition.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. All right, so Can't Even Mop Right.
Can't Even Mop Right.
Oh, wait, I forgot this one.
Take a look at that guy.
Just look at that guy. He makes me so angry.
He's so ogre, like ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Well, Randy's right. There is very much a nerdisms kind of, or a Revenge of the Nerd thing happening early.
But at the same time, you get the feeling that Kaufman was making it up, like, from whole cloth. Like, he hadn't actually watched those movies and didn't know what they're like and how those characters act.
Yeah. You get the impression the writing credit is a loose term. Like, they don't really mean it.
Right.
Like, they got to have something there. So just, oh, yeah, we wrote it. Sure.
So let's say they do end up going through and remaking this. John Travolta somehow gets his way.
Oh, my God.
Remaking this film. Who do you get as that effing guy, that mop boy?
Mop boy is Michael Cera, and the final Avenger guy is Tom Hardy. Now, this is never going to happen, but Tom Hardy in his full warrior bulk, or his Bane bulk.
I would have said there's nobody else you could get for that role besides Jack McBrayer, but...
Dude, Jack McBrayer's better. Sorry.
He would work. He'd be fine.
I'm ruling with Ibbot here.
That's fine. That would totally work. But I think Michael Cera, and you play it more subtly. It's not just sitting around doing that. Okay. It's somebody with an actual life.
Well, I have to go do the mopping now in the...
Look, as simple entropy as the story is, told with the right directorial skill, it's a decent movie. It's an okay hero story. It's not bad. You take a lot of the filler out and you fill it in with things like, well, instead of making him just this two-dimensional or one-dimensional nerd character, flesh him out a little bit. He's struggling. He's trying to make money, putting himself through school. He hates his life. Man, things are bad. It's a Peter Parker opportunity.
Yes, but here's the thing. So if they do remake it, and certainly could happen, he doesn't go after teenagers who run over kids. On bicycles. Right. He goes after big companies who are polluting the environment. He becomes
that's kind of 90s.
It is, but it's coming back. It's coming back. Right,
What would you need to avenge?
I don't know. I mean, that's what I think they got right. Go after really terrible, do the RoboCop style. But
It's the people who hurt you or you're going to hurt back.
Yeah. Finally, and then those that hurt those who are innocent like you were. And there's a purity to that. I know it's simple, but it's pure, and I like that. You don't have to get all political. That would be dumb. They claim, I mean, there's stuff Kaufman's written and others have said that they think this movie is it's an allegory to our reliance on toxic whatever. It's bold crap is say.
Yeah, that's just the opposite. That would make it the correct allegory if he did go after the companies who are dumping the sludge and sending a couple of guys to
or taco places that are that gross.
Without any sort of
In the movie we actually watched, he happens to live in a place where everyone is a raving criminal.
Right.
Like that's right.
On so many levels, you know? And that's the problem. You when you start to think, okay, I'm going to tell an Iron Man story, who's the bad guy? You know?
Yeah, right.
You're not thinking the way Lloyd Kaufman does, which is I want to rip apart everybody. I want bodies falling off buildings for every possible reason. And that's why it's so hard to imagine this being remade good.
I mean, just get into his head for the taco scene, okay? When everything's the aftermath has happened, everybody's been killed and the Toxic Avenger has left and he's enacted his justice on these robbers. They decide to go from this almost rhythmic shot to shot to shot of different cops wharfing down tacos and making a bad joke about their particular criminal who's had his pans burned, guy been thrown in the oven, dude had a sundae made out of his face. And it's this stupid three-way quip with tacos as part of the joke because they're just stuffing them in their face. Like, that's what cops do. Right. It's so terrible, you guys.
By the way, funny bit of awesome trivia on that scene. The guy who gets his arm ripped off, actually a one-armed man.
Oh, no way.
A one-armed actor. Right. Yeah.
All right, that just improved the movie by about tenfold, actually.
Oh, it's totally.
That's great. I had no idea that was the case. All right, well, moving on to this line.
He's always got that shit-eating grin on his face.
What do you know? I always like the phrase shit-eating
and, yeah,
grin.
Yeah, we've talked about it on FilmSack, and it makes no sense.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Nobody would ever grin
while eating shit. Yeah,
well, there's some Germans. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, moving on. Oh, here's a scream that I really liked. That was Bozo being frustrated.
Once again, on behalf of people everywhere, I want to thank Scott Johnson for capturing awesome.
I love stupid screams and crap. And there's so many good ones. All right, here's a bad laugh from a dude. Yeah, that was the scene when Skinny Boy was watching them do it in the gym.
Right. He walks in on two people having sex in a locker room.
Yeah.
Where it's just been like, do you think anybody's going to catch us? Oh, no.
Not in the locker room.
Not here. Not during business hours.
It's only a locker room for a gym that's got 500 visitors.
The brightest lights on possible.
Right.
Here's a bad laugh. No, I did that. Here's little Melvin. My little Melvin.
My little Melvin. He must have finally reached puberty.
You hear that royalty-free classical playing there in the background? Pretty good.
And
he was in the bathroom changing into Toxic Avenger, getting all bulky and muscly, and his mom makes a masturbation joke.
She's looking at the door, and clearly Melvin's playing with dry ice.
Right. Clearly.
If you're looking at the bottom of the door, there's no doubt Melvin's playing with dry ice.
Green light bulb.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What does that have to do with puberty? I'm confused.
She seemed less concerned about the giant smoldering green footprints that led to the bathroom.
Yeah. And how come for this time he didn't have to knock on the door to come to his own house, yet later on in the film he has to knock on his own door to walk in?
Yep. All right. The moment we've been waiting for, here's a example of the terrible voiceover for the Avenger himself.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I don't know what came over me. I just couldn't control myself.
What the hell, dude?
So that is the narrator. Okay, so the narrator's voice.
Yeah. I was disappointed that they eventually started showing his face and occasionally his mouth moving during that talking, because I really wanted to believe that he was talking telepathically, and that was his telepathic voice.
That's what it sounded like, because there were grunts going on in the background, and it's you're totally right about that. Also, you bring up another point. I understand movies that don't let you see the face of a thing for a very long time.
Right.
Modern movies, old movies, and movies yet to come, I promise you, will do this. They'll continue to be a thing. This movie was weird that way. They don't show his face for a very long time. And when do they finally show it? They save it for a scene. I think it was the scene where he sat the girl's butt on the hot coals in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was such a like, okay, well, there's his face. And then they show about 20 more scenes where they obscure it on purpose again, as if they're trying to not have us see the spoiler or something.
And let's break down that scene again, by the way, it's just, I actually thought it was almost clever. It was nearly clever. Like she goes into a sauna earlier in the movie and she's not got any clothes on, and she pours some water to make steam because steam makes for good horror.
Right.
And then she sits down, and then her boyfriend comes in with a towel over his head.
With one eye cut out like the elephant man. Right.
Right. And she, I'm so scared that he pulls it off. And I hate it when you scare me like that. So, okay. So then they have sex. And then this scene, she's in there and, she's just going to go ahead and have sex without him.
Sort of.
She's like, gonna look at the Polaroids of the little kid on the bicycle.
Yes.
And
I forgot that was her material.
Use those as porn.
That's her wank material. But I'm just saying, like, when somebody comes in there with the towel over his head and the eye cut out, she's like she's almost finished.
I don't even know what she was. I don't want to get too deep into detail here. I don't know what she was doing.
You really don't know what she was doing?
I know what she was supposed to be doing.
Imagine she's a DJ and there's a record between her legs.
Okay, I know. I understand that. I understand what she's supposed to be depicted as doing.
I don't think she can use the term wank, though. I think that's purely that's purely penis.
No, that goes both ways.
Really? Yeah, purely penis. That's
girls.
That's okay. Brian's new vodka, by the way, is putting out starting next year. Purely penis. I'm telling you what I'm saying to you is it was so faux that it made me laugh. It's not, there was nothing about that.
Nothing sexy about any of the sex scenes in this film.
No.
Like there was nothing, you know, at least Porky's.
Yeah. At least Porky's had something you could put a flag on and call it good. But this thing had stuff where you're like, oh gosh, what are we doing in the gym here? What is this about?
Right.
Yeah, that was just stupid. Then he shows up with the one eye hole again. Somehow had the forethought to put that on his head. How did he know? I don't know.
Right.
Came in there. She ripped it off. It's him. He says something about, pardon me, old chap, I'm going to burn your ass or whatever.
Right.
Picks her up, sets her on the rocks. And I guess, kills her. Is she dead from that?
No, no, because he says to her, you remember that you did wrong. You know, he gives her that whole thing. So he can't then kill her. It would be stupid to give somebody, to teach someone a lesson and then immediately kill them. So he just leaves her there. You have to assume that she lives.
Okay. All right. Let's assume she lives.
You never see her later in the film, but yeah.
Well, you never see her sitting.
Something about, you've got a really hot ass. There's something unintelligible that yeah. it's not the overdub voice. It's the real guy in the mask voice.
Yeah, true.
After
that.
After the dubbed voice.
You want a bunch of Schwarzenegger one-liners or left her on the rocks, you know?
Don't worry. I won't hurt you.
Ugh. Gross.
In the background.
All right, drop your tacos or I'll blow your brains out.
Drop your tacos or I'll blow your brains out.
That was a great line. Do you like video games?
You like video games, teeny boppers? Your mom give you quarters for video games? We'll cough them up.
You like them, teeny boppers? Teeny boppers. No one calls anyone that.
No.
Then, even then, not 95, even 84, nobody called a teenager a teeny bopper.
I hadn't heard that term since 1971, and I wasn't even alive yet.
Right, you weren't even born. And prior to that, who said it? People in the 50s? Ah, there's some kids over there. What are they? Ah, they're teeny boppers, see? All right, how about, I love this. I'm going to use this forever on every show I produce. Ready? Here you go.
Hey, it's all right.
That's the one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all right.
It's like Shatner having a spaz out. You know the Shatner one I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull that up.
He also liked to repeat words.
Here it is. This is Shatner.
Hey.
All right. You got that? I'll just do it one more time.
Hey.
All right. So there's Shatner. Now we go back to, it's hard to find these when I do it this way.
Hey, it's all right.
I'm telling you, that could be him.
It totally could be.
Could be him. All right. PB&... What? I don't know what this is, so I'll play it.
Peanut butter and jelly, okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Ah, she's terrible.
She really is, yeah.
Yes. Listen to that one more time.
Peanut butter and jelly, okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. She had just kicked... She had just accidentally kicked him in his toxic nuts, and then he hit the dirt, and so he's doing the high voice trope.
Right.
And she's wanting to know if he wants. You know what it was like? What's the movie? Oh, help me here. There's a movie with a blind guy.
It's Young Frankenstein.
Yes!
Gene Hackman, you know, pouring the hot soup into Frankenstein's lap. And,
That's it. That's it. That's the one.
That's exactly the
whole time I'm watching, I'm going, this is so weirdly familiar, and I could not put my finger on it. You totally.
Really?
That's the one.
Only a blind girl could fit this character because. We see a scene where T.A. is taking a leak and he pees poison, man. It's like like radioactive green goo stream coming out of his wang.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if that's how his urine works, you don't want to have sex with that guy. Like you just think about how dumb it is to have sex with that guy. So, is she clearly, she's not only blind, I think she's deaf. And probably missing her sense of smell.
Today's film sack rated.
Musgrote.
All right.
That's
a good point. And I never want to think of it again because that's gross.
Sorry,
no, it's fine. I want to.
Certainly don't want a Cleveland steamer.
Look, I've never eaten a taco again. I may never have another Sunday without thinking about that guy's face getting grinded. He was getting basically ice cream boarded, you know?
Uh-huh. Right, uh-huh. Right.
That's what I thought of when I saw
it.
Right.
I called it milk boarding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here's something about his face.
Do you mind if I touched your face?
No!
Wow. Take it easy there, buddy.
Slow down, Chief. She just wants to, she's blind. She can't do anything. All right, another one.
You're going to become a very important man.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so bad. All right, bad German accent. This is the guy telling everybody why he only kills bad people.
Since only bad, evil people have been destroyed by the monster... I would have to answer your question, yeah.
Wow, and that's only one of two bad German accents in the film.
Oh, yeah, the cop.
The cop.
The other cop, not Sergeant cop. O'Malley or whatever.
Right.
O'Clancy.
Because all scientists are British or German? Is that the deal?
I guess so. They say Zs instead of, you know, Ss.
Why has there never been one Latino scientist
in a film? Let's think about that.
There needs to be. I want an answer to that question. I put it to the Film Sack community.
Who has? Hold on. I've got a tinkering in my head that says there is one that's prominent.
I'm sure there is. It's just strange to me that, that of course he's British or German or some of both.
Yeah.
He's a scientist.
Yeah, or extremely eccentric. That's the other way you do it. It's never just a guy who worked real hard in college and got a doctorate and then his PhD and now he's doing good science. It's never that guy.
No.
It's always a German guy, a British guy, or an idiot. Or someone who's so socially broken that there's nothing you can do for him. All right, here's your Monsters Prefer Blondes line.
For your information, everyone knows Monsters Prefer Blondes.
There's one of your gay stereotypes there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was annoying. Yeah. Let's see. Oh. What is this racist comment?
Oh, I'm not dicky, I'm not washy.
Right. Is that okay? All right, come, but play that again and tell me it doesn't sound like Brian Dunaway.
All right, here we go.
Oh, I'm not dicky, I'm not washy.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's so really amazing. Weird.
Muskrat.
Oh. Yeah, that's totally him. See, now Fletcher said it again to clarify the wording.
No ticky, no washy.
I don't understand what that means.
A ticket. You have to have a ticket.
No ticky?
Yeah.
And that's short for ticket.
Yes.
Oh, that's not even a good racist.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
It's so sad.
I don't even know where to go from that, so let's just go to this.
You don't see nothing but a couple of campers humping each other. Come on, let's go home.
I like that line. And then finally, the fat slob.
You fat slob. Let's see if you've got any guts.
Ah, thanks, Scott Fletcher. Thanks for finishing us out. All right. Well, there's your clip. Some good stuff in there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on to awards. Time to award. It's award season, so better time now than ever to give our Film Sack awards to this film. And they are as follows. The robbery taco store scene went on too long award. Ran away with it this year. It's just hands down the winner. The How Long Does It Take to Feel Your Missing Arm award goes to that dude who clearly took way too long to realize his arm was off and to feel any pain related to it.
He's just looking over at it as blood is spurting out of the stump.
Yeah, then it hurt suddenly. Then it hurt.
Oh, ow.
Finally, the pointless not showing us your face for the whole movie award. Thank you for that. Then also Star Trek connections and a number of them. More than I expected, actually. I don't know why, but I expected less. Scott Leva, stunt coordinator on DS9. He played He was a stunt coordinator in this movie, I should say. In DS9, he played Taken in the episode Soldiers of the Empire, performed stunts in TNG, DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise. And appeared in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, in multiple stunt roles. Patrick Kilpatrick. He was Leroy. On DS9, he played Reese in the episodes The Siege at AR 558. In Voyager, he played Asan in the episode Drive. In Voyager, he also played Razik in the episode Initiations. He co-starred with future Star Trek Voyager actress Kate Mulgrew. And TOS TNG guest star Michael Patika in Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. So that was a thing they all did. And then finally, Charles Cruwell. He was in stunt work in this movie. Close friend and regular stunt double for actor Michael J. Fox in most of his projects. Performed stunts in Star Trek Insurrection. That's the one with the dudes that had the faces they'd stretch over themselves, if you recall. You know, the one that was just a good two-hour episode. Not really a movie.
It was good, though.
It was a great episode, just not a movie. That's it. For soundtrack, I'd give it a grade today. I'd give it T for terrible. I thought it was just real bad the whole time. Just not good and never seemed to match the scene. And
you didn't. You brought up the sound or the score, but not really the good old 80s music soundtrack of like these no-name bands doing these.
Let your body talk to me.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed that. I have to completely disagree with you.
Really?
It's a reason to watch this film. And I'm struggling because I don't want to encourage people to watch this film. At the same time, if you've gotten this far in this episode and you haven't watched the movie yet, you kind of should.
But you only like that stuff ironically, right? There's no way you really like that music. It's bad. It's real bad.
I like it ironically.
Okay.
I'm going to think about that because I don't know if I actually just like it.
Because you can't like it. You can't. It's not possible. That what was it? Karate Kid had a bunch of that in there, right?
Yes, and I love it. I don't know. Like one of my favorite parts of that film.
I think. All right. Well, of course you're going to.
You just stepped on my Twitter post the same way you stepped on my greeting.
Ah, damn it.
It's amazing how you accidentally just managed to hit me in both of them.
All right. Well, let's launch right into that. We're going to start with today's Twitter post, 140 characters or less. Brian Dunaway.
Musgrote.
All right. Now on to Randy Jordan. What do you got?
The Toxic Avenger. This film makes Karate Kid look like Gone with the Wind, an 80s porn film without the budget or the gravitas.
Oh, very nice. You're right. I did walk into that. Brian Ibbett.
Toxic Avenger. Thanks a lot, Scott, for making me watch a movie that's as useless as a pizza oven in a Mexican restaurant.
You're stressing me, Johnson.
You're stressing me.
That's, no, wait. I hadn't thought of that. The katana and the pizza oven.
Yeah.
Right.
What are they doing?
It's the worst Taco Bell ever.
Being stressed was kind of a new concept in the mid-80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
It really was, yeah.
All right, well, here's what I learned while you peed antifreeze all over the street. None of my favorite Mexican restaurants have katanas on the wall. That's number one. Number two, this movie introduced milkboarding. Number three, in this movie, it is not good enough to take a man's arm. You must also cook him in the pizza oven. And finally, blind people can't make eggs. And that's what I learned.
Blind people can't make eggs.
No, yeah. They can make eggs. They just make thousands of them. And
leave the shells in them.
Leave the shells in them.
Yeah. That, again, food preparation.
But
the sunny side up was done perfectly. I mean, there was no burnt edges. The yolk was still runny. It was great.
It didn't look like a fake plastic egg at all.
Not at all. Not one bit.
Not at all. All right, I got an email. Email came to us from Eric. He says, hey, guys, just wrapped up. The one about Predators, and just about died laughing during Brian's quip about Arnold's potential cameo. Hello, Quaid. You mentioned how the upcoming Point Break would be could be easily confused with Point Break. Wait.
Blank. Point Blank.
Oh, Blank. Blank.
Yeah, they're really confusing.
I'm still doing it now. I'd say that's just the tip of the iceberg because when I heard that you were going to be doing Point Blank, I thought you meant the one with Lee Marvin because it was directed by frequent film sack director John Borman, Excalibur, Zardoz, etc. In fact, there are about four films of the same name, Point Blank. If you type it into IMDb, in addition to Point Break and Gross Point Blank, it is the same problem I had with End of the Line, where it is such a common title I wasn't sure which one you meant. Thank you for clarifying this. And the one, thank you for clarifying that it's the one with Mickey Rourke. Best wishes for the new year, Eric. End of the Line, Mickey Rourke. When did we talk about that?
I don't remember that.
I don't either. But sure, it exists. It's a thing.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your stuff. Next movie, Deep Impact, right? I think that's next, isn't it? Deep Impact, giant meteor hurtling toward Earth. Morgan Freeman's got to tell everybody to go underground or suck it up or whatever. He's the president. He says things like, we just want the money, he says once. And I think another time he says, I thought that was the last time I'd see Andy Dufresne.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's coming. Deep Impact. It's a movie that I went the Armageddon route when this came out. So I haven't seen Deep Impact. So I'm excited about that.
I also went the Armageddon route.
Look at us.
I think I saw Armageddon like five times in the movie theater.
Really?
It may be the first movie I ever watched that many times.
By the way, speaking of Michael Bay in a tangential way, did you notice that I got to pull him up. Michael Bay. Why is he not coming up? Not Mitchell Bay. There we go.
Right. Like,
different guy. Oops. Different guy.
Michael Bay's next movie is not a Transformers 4. It is. Hold on. Don't want producer, want director. Here we go. He is doing Pain and Gain.
Yeah,
which is like a cop buddy cop thing.
Is it two guys, a guy with the last name Payne, another guy with the last name Gain?
Well, it's Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and they apparently are two bodybuilder guys. One of them just got out of prison, and they are deciding they're going to do some big heist. And it actually looks like fun. I guess time will tell.
And,
but
and Brian, like
the other Brian, guys,
it has Ken Jeong in it.
Oh, great!
We're in.
Makes me so happy.
Then he's doing The Last Ship, which is a TV movie. Then he's directing Untitled Transformers sequel. I wonder if it'll be 4. And then Bad Boys 3 after that. So he is branching out.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he was rebooting Transformers?
Yes.
Like, oh, we're just going to make the first one again. I think we can tell it better.
Yeah, I'm in. That'd be great.
Maybe they're all reboots now that I think about it.
And he's still producing the new Ninja Turtles movie, so there's that. Next movie, Impact. We talked about that. Deep Impact, rather. It's going to do it for us. I think that's a show.
Hey.
Real quick, did anyone see the Tarantino movie?
I have not seen Django Unchained yet.
Right. No, I did see Silver Linings Playbook, and I can highly recommend that.
Was that good?
It was very good, yes. All right.
Was it mostly about, is it a girl's movie? Is it supposed to be
Okay. No. The previews make it feel like it's going to turn into Dirty Dancing about halfway through, but it doesn't.
All right. All right. Fair enough. We're getting close to Oscar season. You can bet we'll be talking more about this sort of stuff in the weeks to come. In the meantime, please visit us on the web. It's filmsack.com. That's the site. Go check out the archives, forum links, and more. Randy brought up forums a bunch on today's show. Mm-hmm. I cannot recommend the people in there enough to hang out with, talk to, share movie ideas with, and suggest films you'd like to see us cover right here on the show. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We are on Twitter as well, @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. That is always much appreciated. Big news this coming week about Nerdtacular 2013. What year are we in? The dates have been settled. We'll be able to announce it on Tuesday. That's the official announcement day, because that's the day I'll have things signed and it'll be for sure in stone. Ooh. So stay tuned for that. If you have any questions about it, visit nerdtacular.com or frogpants.com or Twitter or whatever. You'll find good information about all of it.
You're just going to go on Twitter and ask questions about Nerdtacular.
Yeah, go on the internet.
Don't direct them at anybody in particular. Just ask Twitter.
Don't do
it. See what Twitter says.
But that's it for us, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. For me, for Brian, for Randy, and the Brian who is not here. We'll see you next time.
Wherever he may be with his scroat.
Oh, his scroat. Right here. Hold on.
My scroat.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.